All right, let me not go on for too long. Perhaps if you have some questions or comments you wanted to, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask, talking of Krishna consciousness, how did you come into Krishna consciousness? What is your story?
Probably same as yours. How did you come?
Through Kirtan.
Through Kirtan. Similar. Yeah, I met devotees, heard chanting Hare Krishna, and I read books, Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita first, and that's how it came, just like I think everyone more or less comes through the same formula, unless there are some who are sort of born into Krishna consciousness because their parents were already there.
Doesn't Krishna consciousness come to you rather than not later?
Does Krishna consciousness come to you? Well, you have to take it at some point. Yeah, if you don't take it, even if it comes to you, then... So the question is, how did people take the Krishna consciousness once they came in touch with it?
You go back to your point that he's raising. When you came to Krishna consciousness, by that time, I know you're an extremely highly qualified person. And then you meet Krishna consciousness. Now this might be the problem for all of us who are students studying whatever we are studying. And how, because you came afterwards to Krishna, by that time you had achieved certain targets. Now how do you dovetail the two? Because then you're going to call it mixed devotional service.
I left university 3 years, 2 months before graduating.
Mm. And tell about that.
Nearly sent my mother to the insane asylum.
If it's not intrusive, that's very relevant, because if you say it's mixed devotional service, I mean, somebody can say, I'll finish my pharmacy and I'll do my this and then I'll become Krishna conscious. Yes. Is it like that, or how do you dovetail the two together?
If you know about Krishna consciousness now, don't waste time. You have to do Krishna consciousness now, because you could die tomorrow, because Krishna is saying now, surrender. Doesn't mean you don't have to, you can't finish your... That was my misfortune, is that I came to Krishna consciousness at such a late stage. And it's not an issue of don't be qualified or be qualified. But don't use becoming materially qualified or a career as an excuse for cultivating Krishna consciousness now, because this is the real thing. That is not real. Ask a dying man whether it's real. And you're all going to die. It's not going to mean anything. So it's good between now and then, but in the ultimate issue, it's worthless. So it's an instrument. So it's just like, you know, you don't get carried away in your fork when you're eating. Oh, what a beautiful fork. Just overwhelmed. You starve to death. Your business isn't the fork. Your business is eating. So this is the instrument that we're meant to be qualified. That's all right. But it's only the qualifications there so we can live in this world. And some people are wealthy, some people are poor, that's all right. But that we can all practice Krishna consciousness, that it's just meant for that. But we can't get lost in the instrument. We need to stick to the reality of what it is that we need to do. So be qualified, not a problem. Not a problem. Arjuna was highly qualified. He spent a lot of time, isn't it? He was born and all of a sudden he was like, you know, shooting arrows left, right and center. He practiced and he put a lot of energy and a lot of things, and that was his service. But he didn't neglect Krishna at anywhere down the road in all of that.
Maharaj, a good example, Siddhartha Gautama, the Krishna wanted him to start. In today's society that we live in today's context, I mean, how far do you take that? Because, for example, say a devotee lives in an area, I mean, we live in a very difficult society, animals and things around it. And if a devotee lives in an area which is, how can I say, you know, it's not conducive to his Krishna consciousness, because there's maybe drug addicts down the road, there's a lot of anti-social behaviour and things. How should we then see the two taking the shelter of Krishna and depending on him, and then also using our intelligence to make our situation a little bit better?
So that we're not sacrificing our Krishna consciousness. In other words, there's no harm in working. There's no harm in working hard. But we shouldn't work so hard that we don't have any time to practice Krishna. When it comes to that, when it comes to the basics, that whatever my vow is, I'm chanting so many rounds, I'm following these principles, I'm reading regularly, and I'm able to remember Krishna. Ultimately, that's what it means. Everyone's remembering Krishna and staying Krishna conscious. Then I'm not going to sacrifice that. And if it does, then all right. Then I sacrifice. Then I'll just let whatever happen happen. So we need to know that balance. That you know, it's only so far, and people are losing the balance. It isn't just to do with Krishna consciousness. You know, people in the name of providing for their family are working so hard that they got no time for their family. And what's the use of that? Then don't provide so much for your family, but spend time with them. Then what's the use of, you know, giving your kids 3 televisions and 5 cars, and you're never with them, so they just turn into delinquents, and they become frustrated because they feel neglected. Then don't give them televisions, just give them love. And they'll be happy.
So the underlying principle is that we should always remember Krishna. That's the main
thing. Yeah. That there's a basic requirement all of us need to be Krishna conscious, and we should know what that formula is, and then that much we shouldn't sacrifice. When it comes to that, sorry, I'm not going to do that. So. I don't know, your employer comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to double your salary if you work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you say, sorry, I spend my weekend with my family. I don't want. He says, well, then I'm going to fire you. I said, all right, fire me. And that's what a person should say, because a person shouldn't sacrifice their time for their family. What to speak of their time for Krishna. They said, yeah, that's all right, I'll get a job somewhere else. Because I'm not going to sacrifice. I'm not going to sacrifice God. I'm not going to sacrifice my family.
You said something about one's karma, one's loss. You know, if they're suffering, they have to, you know, it's their karma. They have to suffer. But that's the case. Is somebody's karma in Krishna consciousness? Is somebody's karma not in Krishna consciousness?
No.
What is the point of having Krishna consciousness?
No, it's not your karma. It's your constitutional position. It's got nothing to do with karma. Everyone's identity is that they're Krishna's servant, and it's up to us as human beings to use our free will to cultivate Krishna consciousness. It's not karma. Karma means that it's fate. It's not fate. It's our desire. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you can be, and if you don't want to be, then you won't be. You can want to be rich. If it's not in your karma, you do whatever you want. It won't work. But if you want to be Krishna conscious, you can be Krishna conscious anytime. Because it's not an issue of karma. It's what Krishna wants. It's what, and if we want it, then it works.
In your book, you say fate is not. Fate is, what would you say, logical and intelligence. Most people's idea of fate is sentimental sort of thing. I was reading in one of the chapters, 15 or something, where you said fate is, you've got to use intelligence in fate. Can you expand on, when you say yours faithfully, I just heard Prabhupada touches that most people write faithfully, but they're not faithful.
Oh, you're talking about faith, not
yeah.
fate.
No,
faith.
Yeah, faith.
Yeah, intelligent.
It is yeah. beyond sentiment, right? It's sentimental.
Yes. There's sentiment involved, but real faith must be based on knowledge. You know, a faith that's not based on knowledge is blind faith. why do you offer incense to Jagannath? I don't know, I do it, I believe in it. Why? I don't know. That's all right. It's good, because it happens to be the right thing, but it's better if you know that, yes, Krishna says that I'm the scent in earth, and Krishna is the scent in all aromatic things. So, just like you offer a lamp to the sun, we're offering incense to Krishna, and we're worshipping Krishna by use of his own energies, then that faith is better, it's of a higher quality faith, because it's based on knowledge. And it's the type of faith that one is able to keep. The other faith, people will get bewildered. What kind of God do you believe in that, you know, sometimes he's got two arms, sometimes he's got no arms, sometimes he's got four arms, sometimes he's got 10 arms. And if people don't understand, they'll get bewildered.
No.
So, and then the nature of a devotee is dependent on the quality of his faith. So if someone has this type of sentimental faith, based solely on sentiment and not based on knowledge, then very easily you can just get led away. There's no problem if Christians, Muslims want to come and preach in India. Why are they converting the Hindus? Because the Hindus had faith in being Hindu, but they forgot their knowledge. They no longer understand what Bhagavad Gita is about. They no longer understand the Vedic scripture, therefore it's a problem. Otherwise it wouldn't be a problem. Then there's not a problem. You can't stop conversion by force or by legislation. You stop it by education. You educate them, let them understand what it's about, and it's not an issue.
Maharaj is, I come from, I do sankirtan every day in the city center. In the beginning of 1 month, some Christian people coming and say to me, you coming Christian? The Indian only worship monkeys and cows, but we worship one person like Jesus Christ.
He's a carpenter. Why do you worship a carpenter?
No, the people say like this. Means, I have the knowledge that the people preaching like this to the Indian people, and very quick change to Christian. But I say no, it is different. We go discipline. I explain very simple way and coming like, oh, go away. Means so many Christian preaching like that to Indian and change to Christian. This is the knowledge I have and hearing them. Mm-hmm. And we began preaching like that. And then you see like that. It's not hard knowledge, the Indian people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not just a lot of modern or present day religions. People really forget their original religious traditions, the scriptures, what the scriptures mean. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't a scholar in the Bible, but he would argue with bishops. He says, don't you understand, thou shalt not kill? Don't you understand it? Isn't it simple? When you can't understand a simple statement like that, and then they argue until they're blue in the face. And
sometimes when you're in the midst of something, say for example, Krishna consciousness also, you can become tendency to become familiar. And then when you have a distance from it, and because of the contrast, you feel like you have a greater appreciation. It seems like, because you feel like I don't have it, and when I'm in contact with it, I can appreciate it. So, but I think it's difficult to maintain that level of appreciation and become familiar on a regular basis. So, can you say something about that?
People become familiar with things when there's no change. When it's always changing and it's constantly dynamic growth, then because it's always fresh, then you don't become complacent. So that happens when spiritual practice becomes really mechanical. And mechanical means that advancement is slow. If advancement is progressive, then there's always Krishna consciousness is so wonderful and there's always newer and newer frontiers, then you never become complacent, you never become bored. It's always a new challenge for the mind, for the intellect, for the soul. So we need to ensure that our Krishna consciousness is dynamic and we don't get into this sort of phenomenon of just being practitioners, but rather it's more like mining. Gurgavan Maharaj would give that example. Mining means, you don't just, you gotta get somewhere, you don't just like stand there or you just dig a little, you gotta keep going down and you gotta come across something. So same thing, our business is to mine, and to mine the different jewels of Krishna consciousness, and to be making qualitative difference in our lives. And that's the danger of ritual. That's what ritual means. Something just becomes ritualistic. You just like do it. And once again, that's why knowledge is sort of an important thing. I mean, that it can't be an argument in this day and age when people, I mean, how many libraries have you all read just to know whatever you know? So everything is based on knowledge. We learn so much. So we shouldn't think that it's enough in Krishna. I believe in God. I believe in Krishna. But the wolf is howling at the moon. He believes in Krishna also. In his way, he's also. Krishna says, Shashi Shuryo, I'm the light of the moon and the sun. So he's also believes in Krishna, but it's not a matter of just believing. If there's something here or all these books, Prabhupada gave his life for these books. That was what he did. Everything else was sort of like incidental, more or less. And his main life was presenting these books, and that's what he wanted to give us more and more, transcendental literature, so that we could keep on mining more and more and making our Krishna consciousness more and more fresh. But when we stop that, then we just, I got to finish my rounds and show my others. Then we lose it. And it becomes, and everything becomes like that, isn't it? So nowadays people, if they just keep seeing their wife dressed in the same way for 30 years, they get bored after a while.
So the husband's like that.
And the husband, the wives get bored of the husbands. And there's so many things. People are just doing their job, and if it's the same thing that you're doing and there's no excitement, there's no progress, then you get tired of your job, you get tired of your neighborhood, you get tired of your dog, you get tired. People want, there needs to be dynamic. Life needs to be dynamic because we're dynamic creatures. We're spiritual creatures, which means that we need things that are always expanding, increasing.
I cook for Krishna Maharaj at home and make new recipes, and then that keeps you going, it seems. The knowledge, if you have to think of new ways of cooking for him, and that helps, and that's...
Yes, that's one thing. There's so many. There's unlimited preparations to cook. And then the quality of what you're cooking with and making offering is good. You have experience of that when, children go when their mothers cook for them and they feed them. So they feed them with love. And that's sort of part of the meal. It isn't that, you go home and, hey, let's throw this preparation on the table, eat this. But is that what we do to Krishna? Hey, quick, we gotta eat. Here's your offering. So, but who likes that? Who likes to be like that? So in the same way that, mothers cook and offer things to their children with great love and their family members. So it's something that comes spontaneously. Similarly, we need to learn that spontaneous science of doing things with love. That's a real art.
You just
Jai Jagannath Ki Jai.
So it's a lot of university preaching that goes on in the Netherlands, and
great.
And so what we're finding is there's a lot of say individuals who are around 18 years of age, but the present kind of lifestyle is that they've had a kind of like a Gandhi lifestyle since the age of 11, 12. So where they say generation before, they've just come across that kind of lifestyle at the age of 18. 21, so we've already had say 10 years of this, you know, say this activity and stuff. So what should our angle be, or what should our emphasis be, or a good kind of mark, or how to attract say university students, or how, what should they just be adding to their life, or what should we be trying to promote as a starting point for university students?
Yeah, we were speaking about the same thing upstairs. I'm also experiencing it from seeing new generations of people coming to Krishna consciousness, that just for people to be able to peacefully practice Krishna consciousness, very often they need to have such basic emotional, psychological counseling just so that they can be normal. Because just like one lady, who I was speaking to some years back, she found a devotee, and she was really elated because after, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years, she said, "You know what I really like about him?" And I thought she was going to tell me chant 64 rounds or something like that. And she says, "He's normal. He's the first normal person I've come across in 4 years. So it's really hard nowadays. People are, like you say, they're so abused, abusive, have so many bad experiences, so traumatized, that that's what Bhagavatam says, Manda, the people become more and more disturbed as time goes on. And our medicine is generally the same, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Prasadam. At least that's what we're doing. The same thing works. It's just that you see that people sometimes have more difficulty accessing it. And sometimes they need other things that they've made their lives already so difficult. But Krishna consciousness is very, you know, everyone is still a spirit soul. They'll continue to be spirit souls, and they get awakened by the same process if they hear the holy name. If they hear Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that will still work. It's just as you say, that they've already made it so difficult for themselves that we may have to be a little more patient and a little more tolerant. And sometimes we end up being more psychiatrists than preachers when I talk to people, so that people become so insecure because they're in a real cutthroat world where they can't trust anyone anymore. They can't trust their parents, they can't trust their teachers, they can't trust everyone, just out to get everybody else. It's very... Okay, we'll go to 9:30 and then it's Prasadam time, right? We'll just be the rest time.
Can you talk a little bit about what sort of mood we should be in when we're doing different? In accordance with Krishna conscious philosophy and tradition, we should be doing different as servitude to Krishna and as, you know, doing it as, I guess, an offering to him. But at times, sometimes it's the case that instead of being Krishna conscious when we're performing, we're, I guess, a bit more sort of self conscious. And can you just talk a little bit about the ideal or the correct sort of mood and the correct sort of way in which we should approach Krishna when dealing with Krishna?
The other day at the manor, and then before I also mentioned, spoke about that. Yeah, we do everything, kirtan included, for Krishna's pleasure. And that's called pure Krishna consciousness. And then everything else is sort of impure Krishna consciousness. So we take the sadhana for Krishna's pleasure. Because by that we're worshipping and honoring Him. We're sleeping for Krishna's pleasure, because by resting the body and serve Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna because we're glorifying Krishna. And so anything, devotional service that's done for Anyavilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavitam Anukulina Krishna Anushilana Krishna Anushulanam Bhaktivitam. So, things done for Krishna's pleasure. And when we do something, next best to that is that we're doing something for our purification. And that's also good, because that will lead to the right consciousness. But then, doing things for our own enjoyment, doing things for our own gain, whether it's egotistic gain or financial gain, and then doing things for no reason, then that's really meaningless. So we need to, even sometimes we might find ourselves reverting to that, then we have to continue to refocus our consciousness and try to do things in the right way, particularly chanting when we're doing kirtan like that. But we're not out to have some kind of party or something, you know. But that we're actually here to glorify Krishna together. I didn't say that. Well, you can do certain things. That's why I said you can do certain things which will bring about some type of temporary change. But in the ultimate issue, what has to be will have to be. There are reasonable efforts that one should make which may fall within one's fate. In other words, that Maharaj Dasharath does yajna to have children, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, his fate is not to have children. It just means that his fate is to have children with difficulty, and not to have it easily. Sometimes people may therefore push that limit of bending fate so that I get something immediately that I'm not necessarily destined to get immediately, or I get something easily that I'm not. But in the long run, then one, it will be lost. So no, you can't. Prahlad Maharaj explains that in the overall picture of our karma, you're not going to be able to make some change. Maybe you can make some change now, but then you'll have to pay for that later on, and it'll work out to be the same. It's like these athletes. You know, they take all these performance-enhancing drugs so that they can run faster now, but then they lose their medal anyway because it gets found out. So if they're not meant to win, they don't win. It comes out in the wash. So whether it's a yajna or performance-enhancing drug or people do things illegally, you know, it's not in my karma to make money, so I'll steal someone else's money who does have the karma. But then ultimately you lose it all and you end up being in jail. Maybe you enjoy for some time, Who was I was just reading? The last person of the great train robbery just got caught after, when was that? Train 69? So after 40 years, they caught him. So, yeah, maybe it looked like, hey, that's not fair. But that was in his karma. He had that he was able to do damage, but ultimately, he has to pay and lose it. So in the ultimate issue, it will come out that wasn't. And then he spent all the money. All of his money was spent in running from MI5, who's just hunting him around the world all the time. In other words, he had no peace. Not that he's just going to just... I think it's £15 million that they stole, and then they divvied it up, and some of them left, which at that time was a lot of money. Now it's not so much, but then it was big money, biggest robbery.
So he wasn't peaceful.
But he was never peaceful. He was just running, and he couldn't spend his money on Senskov. He was running his money all the time, always hiding from the police, because they were just hunting him. They were determined to catch him. Well, I mean, there are many religious movements who do kirtan who don't recognize Krishna either. They recognize a supreme power, but they don't recognize the supreme powerful person necessarily. I mean, just briefly, the answer is because they don't understand the Vedas in their totality. They just understand a part of it. He does want them to have the knowledge, therefore it's available to them as much as it's available to anyone else. But they have to be willing to accept that knowledge. And that was Prabhupada's idea, that in order to let everyone have access to it, so distributing Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then we have many devotees of different Vaishnava traditions, just like here, you know. In England you got people who come from Gujarati, so they come from Swaminarayan background, and they come from all other types of Hindu Vaishnava traditions, and they're all becoming followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that everyone here is just coming from a Gaudiya Vaishnava family. So that works. But it's an important point, because Chaitanya Charitamrita says that unless you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your worship of Krishna is worthless. So in the example that he gives is that Jarasandha used to also worship Lord Narayan, but he was a demon. Jarasandha was in a worse position than Venkatpat. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar. That's the whole subject matter there in the 11th canto, when the Navayogendras, they're being asked, who is the Yuga avatar? What is the way to worship him? And how is it that it's possible to achieve perfection? So Krishna, Varanam, Tushar, Krishna, then this formula is given. You can't get around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So ultimately, Vaishnava traditions, what will be their benefit of chanting or doing kirtan? They'll come to recognize Lord Chaitanya. But, and that's very clearly described there in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other Shastra. Okay, we should stop and take...
Maharaj, thank you for your last book. It's absolutely fantastic. Why you change the mood you were writing, and suddenly this new book is absolutely what I think everyone should take a book from here this last book of yours, because you changed your the way you were writing. You were writing about Ras and...
This is the introduction to those other ones, because everyone keeps asking me what's the qualification for reading these books.
It's very, very good. I'm reading it just now. I think everyone should... I will recommend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've brought the books here, Maharaj, but it's absolutely fantastic. And, Maharaj has put everything so much into it.
If you can't afford
it, finance. I got no commission, Maharaj.
I don't get any commission.
That's here. We brought them, Maharaj. I think before you go, if anybody wants to read a good book,
I think
right, Maharaj's book is fantastic.
I didn't ask him to say it.
Please go.
Okay, now for this last time, Prasadam.
Prasadam.
Jai Jagannath. Prasadam ki jai.
Jai Jagannath Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Guru Bhaktivinoda ki jai.